hi, gay is not sin. And Jesus is asking the gay person to change and be straight. Jesus is a pretty nice person, you know that? He's been around a while. I'm talking to a person claiming to be Pentecostal, and it's kind of interesting sometimes talking to some Pentecostals. An awful lot of them turned out to be from, but generally, like if you're talking about the Assembly of Gods or something, they would say, well, these are kind of cultic Christians. Because they end up being this kind of thing. We hear this holiness church or something. This holiness type of thing sounds really good, you know. But, you know, what I try to tell this person is, because, you know, they somehow think they have the monopoly on understanding the Bible and everything and how to live for Jesus. It's, you know, so many different Christians around the world gets an idea that they have a monopoly on the correct way to live for Jesus, or they have the correct doctrine. What are they trying to say? If you have some idea that your particular doctrine or your particular church is correct or more correct than other churches, don't you ever evaluate why you're thinking this way? Or is it just comfortable to believe this way? You know, you kind of like chocolate pudding because it just tastes good. And maybe if you really got into the ingredients, you'll find out it has all these long scientific names, and you'll find out a couple of might really aren't that good for you. But you don't want to know about all these kinds of stuff. Or maybe you'll find out that, hey, you know, after all this thing, we've always heard that all this chocolate may not be good for you, all this sweet, but when you start looking into the scientific studies, you're finding out that, you know, actually, it is good for you, some of the stuff in there. And so it's more beneficial. So you can find good and bad in all kinds of situations. You could do a study on certain kind of living habits and say that this is really bad. Your coffee is a really good example. There's studies always going on about coffee. Every so often, we get a new report, it's bad for you, or we get an exact number of cups of coffee you could have, 1 times 6, 1 times 3. Then you get a study out that says, well, actually, it's pretty good for you. And then, you know, some people get just outrageous migraine headaches if they miss their coffee. So, you have all kinds of, coffee is a pretty confusing issue if you want to try to figure out if it's good for you or bad for you, or right or wrong, or, you know, is that caffeine, like, drinking or something? You have all kinds of issues that could come up along these lines. Some of you that drink and everything, you like the studies that come out to say that certain aspects of drinking is good for you. Oh, it's, you know, like the Bible has one of your little wine is good for you because, you know, which fellow, was it Timothy or what, had problems in the stomach or something, and so Paul told him, drink a little wine, you know. And Jesus also turned the water into wine. So we have confusing issues. And then we go in, and we have certain people that seem to be closer to Jesus as a, what are they called, Nazarene? Not related to the church of the Nazarene, but Nazarite or something like that. But they don't drink at all. So, you know, what happens is we got lots of people, 2,000 years of Christianity goes by, and now we're here today, and we see the results of 2,000 years of Christianity going by. And what we have is lots of denominations. And some denominations is like live and let live. They are very happy and acceptable and respectful to most other denominations in that they just are believing that these people believe in Jesus and that's good enough for them, and they generally believe in the Bible. Maybe they have a little bit of doctrinal differences and everything, but they fit their little nook, you know, of Christianity, and everything's fine. But there are other groups that call themselves Christians that are very cultic, they're very off to the deep end in areas that, you know, they don't agree in. But generally speaking, you know, if a person's calling themselves a Christian, they're a Christian. And if they say they believe the Bible, generally, that's fine. Because you're not perfect, they're not perfect, nobody's perfect, we all make mistakes, we all believe things that are not quite true, and so it doesn't matter a whole lot about what denominations you are in. But some people are in denominations, and they believe they're the only way. And I've heard this lots of times. A key is, if you're talking to somebody, and generally on the surface they sound really Christian. None of us believe God, so we got that kind of area of background, Pentecostal and all that kind of stuff. And so when you're talking to another Pentecostal, they're either going to be Assembly of God, because that's the biggest one, or they're going to be, because there's not really, there's Four Square Church, so you do got that. And there are other churches. I went to a Church of God, but there are about three or four different kinds of denominations that are called Church of God. And I went to one that was Pentecostal, and for all that I saw of it, and knew of it, because I went to it about a year, it was a pretty good church. Didn't seem a whole lot different from the Assembly of God, except that, you know, it seemed pretty independent, but they did have a hierarchy of a denomination. And there's another Church of God down the street, which is nothing to do with Pentecostal. So you have various churches all around. And some of them believe they're the only one. I've been to a Reformed church. It's kind of interesting. I was on an Indian reservation down in Arizona. And this I'd recently got saved, and this is about a month or so later. And I often go to this reservation and went to the various churches on it. And this one pastor was kind of interesting because, you know, I'm going to evening worship, you know, and kind of had a tent and it's a hallelujah type of thing. And people are dancing in the spirit and hands getting laid on, they're getting healed and slain and all kinds of stuff. They're pretty interesting. They go on the Indian reservation. Then the next morning, he puts on a different gown. He's saying clothes, you know, but I'm saying. Then he's the Reformed pastor, because they didn't have a Reformed pastor, so he was standing in. Interesting, a Pentecostal pastor is probably kind of, I think the background was the Assembly of God, although this works a little different out there in the reservation. And there he is, Reformed church pastor there. He had credentials for it and all that kind of stuff, so there he was preaching. To them, kind of more laid back because they're not Pentecostal and all that kind of stuff. But it's kind of, I'm sort of wondering, you know, it's kind of interesting how one pastor's actually pastoring different denominations. But anyway, I get phone calls from people. And one time, one person called that particularly was saw in a program that I was talking about the local ex-gay ministry and its founder and president, who had, you know, by the way, long ago fell away, and they had to send him off in sabbatical because he had, went out and had some affairs with other gay people. After several years, you know, 8 years or so, and going on TV, just like I'm here on TV, and giving his testimony, how God delivered him and everything, and then after that, you know, here he is. Anyway, and I kind of know what I'm talking about with this guy, because I personally talked to him, and told him what I hear, hearsay, and so forth, and so on. But anyway, so this viewer calls and says he's Reformed Church. He goes to the same church that this ex-gay minister goes to, but he was trying to condemn gays, and after I talked to him, because he talked for quite a while, he began to say, all of the other denominations are going to hell because they, this Reformed Church is Church of Advanced People, is what they also called it. And all the other, and I said, what are you talking about days for? You already think the Assembly of God people are going to hell. You already think the Catholics are going to hell. You already think the Baptists are going to hell. You already think that all these other denominations are going to hell. So who cares about gay people if you already are thinking everybody's going to hell and all you're doing is adding people to the list? So I'm already going to hell because I'm in the Assembly of God. So who cares about if I'm gay or not? You already have wiped the slate off of all the other denominations. Then we get into this holiness doctrines. Now, I'm an Assembly of God. Holiness is a big deal. But, it's kind of interesting. Holiness sounds like it should be really what God is all about. Be ye holy, for God is holy, and we can bring up all kinds of scriptures. And so it almost sounds like if I'm talking against holiness churches, it's like I'm talking against the holiness of God and any, we just live a life of sin or something and don't be holy as it was. But this is what is meant by holiness church. People get names of things that sound good, but they use it incorrectly. The holiness church is a state of these churches that start out like Jim Jones, and they have their following, that Waco thing, People follow after them. Some of them are in such an extreme case that they will kill themselves for the sake of their leader. Now, holiness churches don't go that far, but they might as well because they are heaping stuff. I'm in communications with lots of people in these holiness church. And some of them are just, generally most, just want to condemn gays and that's it. And as far as that goes, any other church, there is as well. And they think that they are the right way. And that you have to live this holiness type of code. Yeah. And there's the other group of them that they're talking to me, and they feel this heavy weight on their shoulders that their church puts on them of strictness, sexual strictness. And it's like, boy, if you talk about that a church is saying that you've got to behave yourself sexually, then it sounds like that. Well, maybe you're saying then the opposite. There is no A and B. There's no 1 + 1 = 2. There's no, it's all, there's not white and black. There's millions of colors of gray. And a good part of those are not sin. It's when you decide that you're going to make it black and white. It's this or it's that. That's not what the Bible is. And you might say, well, it is. It is when you can understand it. And there's not very much of the Bible you could truly understand. It is an attempt to get to you that there's some information out there that you need to be aware of. Yes, there's lots of things you can understand about the Bible. But if you got any of this stuff inside this piece of bone up here, between the ears, besides fat, then you ought to be able to know 2,000 years of Christianity had gone by. What makes you superior to all the Christians that lived in those 2,000 years? Do you see the reams of books? Do you see the huge libraries? You can go in the Vatican and you can see the books all over the place from the past 2,000 years. You can go in the various Protestant archives and find, you could go online and you will never run out of information about what the church did in the past 2,000 years. Look around you. Colleges of every sort. places to study, Bible schools and all that kind of everything. Where did you suddenly get the answers and say they're right? What you should know is it's gone on before you. And now you are the beneficiary of all of this information. This should tell you there's a lot of stuff out there. And you may have just a piece of the puzzle, but you have already found out, because you looked into 2,000 years and you found out there's a whole bunch of stuff that went on, and there's lots of pieces of the puzzles, and there's new pieces of the puzzle just pouring in these days just before Jesus returns. How are you going to make decisions on what is black or white about the Bible? You can't. You got a piece of the puzzle, but you can't make a doctrine out of a piece of the puzzle. You have access to an interesting revelation in your little piece of the puzzle. But you ought to understand there's other pieces of the puzzle out there that might blow your rest of the way idea about the Bible out altogether. And it's going to hurt you in the future, because you're not living in the time that you could just simply die and go to heaven, because lots of you are going to be alive. And the deceptions are going to come. We could talk about all the deceptions that are already here, but that you ain't seen nothing yet. The type of deceptions that are going to come are going to be specific into directing it towards Jesus Christ. It's not being what you're reading about Him in the Bible. What the deceptions are going to come are the type that's going to... It's physical. You know, you got senses. You can see, you can hear, you can touch, you can smell, and so forth. You see, you read. This is an interesting phenomena. You listen. But you know the old saying goes in one ear, out the other. Our hearing is not connected so much to the storage databases. It is, but it is stored differently in a way, because it's an audio recording. It is maybe a little bit harder to access audio. You know, we should learn a lot about our stuff up here. It's different, very different, but it has similarities in your computer. When you're accessing a video file, or an audio file, even on fast computers, you've got to wait a second or two. When you're accessing a text file, instant. Your brain is going to go get the information that's the quickest. And then it will bring in the additional information as needed. So when you're doing things like reading Bibles, and reading other kind of stuff, and then also you have sight input, which is the video, it's harder to access, and the audio, which is not as hard, but harder to access in your memory. And then you have the text. Now, the text is, your memory doesn't come back of the way you saw it, or heard it, or read it. It's digitalized in such a manner that it comes back to you and impresses you a memory of something. That's what we call it, the memory. And then we analyze that memory. It's a process going on. And this whole instance, we don't pay much attention to it. But these things are happening. And what you don't realize is that if you condition yourself to things, then you have the truth here and you have your conditioning. The conditioning is powerful, because this is the information that's readily accessible. When you get to the truth part, the conditioning overweighs the truth, because that's what you know. That's what your comfort level is. It is comfortable loving what you hate. You hate things, like in this case, you hate anything to do with gays, in that you believe gay is sin, you think God hates it, and you have all these kinds of things about it, and that's all you heard every life. It is very, very comfortable, very, very acceptable everybody will accept this. If you speak about it in any kind of negative terms about gay people, everybody's right away, amen, amen. But if you dare speak on a positive turn about gay people, everybody's going to jump on your case. And it ain't going to be fun. You're going to operate, and this is how you get conditioned. You hear it over and over and over again. Till finally, your conditioning appears as truth to you. And it's hard to break away from conditioning. So when you go to the Bible and you read a word like sodomite, your conditioning has set up a definition for it, homosexual. And you will go to extremes to say the Old Testament so clarifies it to say very much law and legal terms against homosexuality. But you never ever go to the truth and say, the Old Testament that you're saying is based on one word. When you're talking about homosexuality, that means you're talking about one Hebrew word. And the entire Bible and the entire Old Testament is one Hebrew word. Don't care what you think. It is one word. Sodomite. That's where you get this idea of legal. That's what you get this idea of saying it is the Old Testament that is speaks so against it is based on this word sodomite, which means male temple prostitute. It does not mean gay person. Now a male temple prostitute may indeed be a gay person. Now you got female temple prostitutes, they may be indeed they will be a female. They might be a lesbian. Why the gay person, why the male temple prostitute can likely be a gay person. This doesn't make gay sin. Because they are gay Catholics, doesn't make Catholic sin. It doesn't make the gay person, it doesn't make Catholic sin. Catholic sin is not on its own accord. But if there's a gay Catholic, then you have to say, well, Catholics are sin. If there's a gay Assembly of God person, then Assembly of God people are sin. That's not how it works. If there's a prostitute, and the prostitute is a woman, it doesn't say that women is sin, does it? Or heterosexuality is sin because the woman is selling her body to a man to have sex. She's getting money off of sex. So you got a man and you got a woman. So that's heterosexuality. Therefore, heterosexuality is sin. That's not what that means. It means there's a prostitution going, doesn't matter if gay or straight. Prostitution is the sin, not the orientation. The Bible is not saying boy beats boy. They date, they fall in love, they get married. Because that's what gay people are. If you use the word gay inside your vocabulary, meaning homosexual, and you're talking about a boy or a girl, meaning a boy or a girl, meaning girl meets girl, boy meets boy. They date, they fall in love, and they get married. It's when you become like the holiness churches and decide to make a doctrine on something, and you become involved in things that are not, you become blinded to the truth. I'm out of time. Got a lot to talk about on this subject. And with only 10 seconds left to go, let's see what I can do. You need to get out of your bondage to things. The New Version Bibles are conditioning your brain because you're reading it in, you're recording into your mind 50,000 to 80,000 corruptions in the Bible, which will affect you later. If you don't know Jesus, turn to Him right now and say, God, I believe that Jesus is your Son, your only Son, and that He died on the cross for my sins, and that you rose Him on the third day. A simple prayer gets you saved. Now begin to read the King James Version Bible. See you next week.